Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know him and grow up in him and be ready for his appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called The Word of Life. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, and reading to verse 4. This is 1 John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The word fellowship in Strong's is number 2842. It comes from another word meaning partnership. That is literally participation or social intercourse or benefits to communicate and communication or communion, distribution or fellowship. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition in chapter 1 to Know God, on page 2, Joseph Hedgecock writes, when I received Jesus as my personal Savior, I did not come under the umbrella of another person's salvation. I either stand or fall before God by myself. My salvation is not dependent upon a pastor, priest, church, or denomination. It is solely dependent upon my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My relationship with God has developed because I made the effort to know him personally. It did not come because someone else sought God for me. If that had been possible, my parents would have taken care of it long before it happened. My father was a very godly pastor who knew the Lord intimately. But I had to go to the cross myself. I had to open my heart, humble myself, and receive Christ's atonement personally. No one else could receive it for me. I heard testimonies of other Christians who had met Jesus, but I still had to experience him for myself. My life changed when I became an eyewitness of God's love and experienced it personally. In AD 95, John was about 80 years of age, but full of joy. He was writing to the churches where the mother church in the prosperous port city of Ephesus was losing its first love. Revelation 2 and verse 4. Without his love, your life will be full of fear in these last days, operating through your own reasoning and understanding too. You can, however, have a partnership with God through a thriving personal relationship by obeying Jesus' commands with no fear. 1 John 4 and verse 18. His commands are not grievous. 1 John 5 and verse 3. But specific, so that perfect love grows in you exponentially. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. By making all the decisions, you'll never find enough time to serve God. Eternal life is a gift from God that you will need to use rigorously in all situations to ensure you do not serve two masters. Matthew 6, verse 24. The devil will help you do more good works and give you more excuses if you keep using your mind. Anyone can be filled with his power, trusting God with all his or her heart to do his perfect will and get another testimony. Those called to rule and reign with Christ, however, are in a fight. They need truth to expose ways that seem right, not to do anything from their human reasoning. After breaking, I saw the need to hear God consistently in all areas. But the Lord directed me to start in one area first. I expected the hardest area to hear God consistently would be among unbelievers. However, it was the best place to start, because I had many opportunities in a busy office environment to hear, trust, and obey. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "And the life, an aspect of his being, was revealed, made manifest, demonstrated, and we saw, as eyewitnesses, and are testifying to and declare to you the life, the eternal life in him, who already existed with the Father, who actually was made visible, was revealed to us, his followers. What we have seen and ourselves have heard, we are also telling you, so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. When it comes to pouring out his Spirit, God is no respecter of persons." Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. "However, enjoyable fellowship by the Spirit is a distinguishing mark of a real Christian in complicated situations. Churchgoers are surprised today when you say that you walk and you talk with God all day long. Due to the pressures of daily life, you may have a brief quiet time in the morning, reading the written word, but only hear God on his emergency channel now and again during the day." John continued in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This is 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." The word cleanseth in Strong's is number 2511. It comes from another word which means to cleanse literally or figuratively, or make clean, or cleanse, purify, or purge. Those who only hear God in ministry are still walking in darkness. In the last days, leaders that do not get to know God, Matthew 7, 22 and 23, will be wearing sheep's clothing at the end, Matthew 7 and verse 15. There are different levels of pressure as you follow Christ, so you have to keep working on your communication in all areas. Do not make excuses for the sake of your flesh, as you need the Holy Spirit to continually dwell in you, Romans 8 and verse 9. But also to grieve if necessary, so that you're ready for his appearing through repentance, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. In the Message Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 7 says, "If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, We also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. No church is perfect, but if you walk in the light, then you will not be a part of all its problems that come from thinking. Conviction is a blessing, so do not let this turn into condemnation by getting in the flesh yourself. Romans 8 and verse 3. To remain free, serve God under pressure, wherever God sends you, and make no provision for your flesh. Galatians 5 and verse 13. The Holy Spirit will warn you through conviction when you, through your reason and understanding, start walking in darkness by making decisions yourself. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. Continue to follow his instructions, and through conviction, you will be given grace to purge yourself over a period of time. Through deep repentance, all things will disappear through lack of use and be replaced by what God wants instead. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And fellowship with God will be maintained through following Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. This is Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Lazy believers avoiding pressure and resisting conviction get nothing. Walk in the light, and you will not lack knowledge, wisdom, strength, or understanding, and become spiritually fruitful. Let God direct you what to do in all areas by putting thoughts in your mind instead. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, not your personal needs. Matthew 6, 24 to 33. The flesh does not like doing things God's way. So when that happens, resist the flesh and submit to God. Without patience and some long-suffering, living the holy life, you will not experience his goodness. Jesus said in John 16, 13 and 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, reading verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Do not let this world intimidate you. The natural mind cannot understand spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the spiritual man can discern both the natural and the spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2, 15. So invest wisely by removing a confidence in the flesh through repentance before time runs out. The world is going faster, trying to make money, but God is outside of time. Jesus promised his disciples that if they invested in their ability to hear, they would not need man's wisdom. Jesus taught in John 10 and verse 10. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In the Living Bible, John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. The fruit will tell you whose purpose is being fulfilled in your life personally. Abundant life is more than just doing your favorite activity in church to stop you from being completely bored. The calm of mind that gives away a spiritual inheritance for the sake of your flesh that is selfish and cowardly is the real criminal. Jesus gave you a new operating system, so you only need the kingdom of God now and a safe environment determined by the Spirit for you to enjoy life to the full on this earth through obedience. Make a one-time decision and settle the lordship issue now, and you will experience a blessed life. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The word hallowed in Strong's is number 37. It comes from another word which means to make holy, that is ceremonially, to purify or consecrate, mentally, to venerate, hallow or be holy or sanctify. The Father fed a whole nation in the wilderness with food and water for 40 years. Following his instructions, and other nations heard about it. Since Christ died on the cross, prayer is not one way, but two-way communication. Unless you're serving a dead God, sons growing up in Christ are led and controlled by the Spirit consistently. Romans 8:14. You operating out of common sense and reason and calling Jesus Lord will tarnish God's reputation or name in the minds of others. Without a reverential fear, they will perish and never find life by doing what they want when they want. Rely on the Spirit, bearing witness and conviction to be sure His name is hallowed consistently in your life. You might be a bit fearful when you start following Christ, but three things are important. Number one, not getting tempted or high-minded through the flesh. Number two, being delivered from evil by following instructions carefully with the fear of the Lord. Number three, making sure that you do not touch the glory by helping God. God doesn't need a detailed explanation in prayer, as he knows the end from the beginning and gets the glory in your life when you trust and obey. Matthew 6 and verse 7. Doing the will of God is more important than food. Those who have invested in their ability to hear, trust and obey can pray without ceasing until the situation is resolved. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. They also pray because they're men and women of action. Intercessors have a chastened lifestyle and are ready to pray for any sudden changes. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4 on Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation, on pages 69 and 70, Joseph Edgecott writes, The greatest danger you face as you seek to enjoy the gifts of salvation is believing you have to do something to receive the gifts. All you have to do from infancy through maturity is draw near to God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When God draws near to you, he provides everything you need to enjoy a deepening relationship within him. All you have to do is listen and obey. Everything else is his responsibility. Stop helping God. If your spiritual life is not working, you are helping in some way. Remember this quote from Arthur Burt in Pebbles to Slay Goliath. If you help God a lot, he can do a little. If you only help him a little, he can do a lot. But if you don't help him at all, he can do anything. Let go and let God. When you do good works or obey the truths you receive from God in your spiritualized flesh, you're trying to help him. Your good works may look spiritual, but they will not produce intimacy with God. You should be doing good works because you have a relationship with him. You do the works he directs because you love him, not to get something from him. You cannot become a living sacrifice unless you have changed operating systems. Do everything motivated out of love for the Father, or become religious. Are you obeying the truth or trying to understand with your mind? The cornerstone of our faith is obedience to the Spirit and a love relationship with God. To consult your own will, you have to use your mind and take over the Lordship. The Galatians were accepting circumcision in order to trade with some religious Jews. If you do not deny your flesh consistently, you will eventually deny and betray Christ with something temporal in this life. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Jesus and the apostles both functioned on this earth without thinking about their own needs. Paul felt like he had a daily appointment with death following Christ. But at the last minute, God always made a way where there seemed to be no way. He also felt like everyone was watching his every move, including the expression on his face. However, by working out his salvation in fear and trembling under some pressure, Philippians 2:12, he was qualified to teach from experience his ways in Christ in all the churches, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. Paul could rejoice always as he had no confidence in the flesh, Philippians 3:3. With a peace that passes all understanding, he obtained a more intimate relationship with God by trusting God to hear detailed instructions in complicated situations. For more information on how to establish the peace of God, follow the instructions Paul gave in Philippians 4, 4-8. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Many are called, but few are chosen. The conviction of killing their own Messiah had produced some excellent disciples seeking a clear conscience among the early converts. And James called them first fruits, as they were growing rapidly. With pressure coming from all sides, they had opportunity to pursue righteousness by faith and rejoice. James 1 and verse 2. In their communication with God, James told them three important things. Number one, when the word comes to you, do not start thinking. The word swift is used to describe a stone skipping across still waters. You will lose your peace and no longer hear clearly if you think about your circumstances. If necessary, think about the right things just to keep your mind still. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Number two, speak slowly and rely on the conviction of the Holy Spirit to change your words, tell you what to pray for and how long. Much speaking is no guarantee that he hears us. Speak only as fast as you can hear God. You cannot pray effectively for others if you're anxious. We know if we pray according to his will, he hears us. Number three, God has all the answers. Even while you're getting angry, anger or wrath comes from thinking. and does not lead to righteousness, James 1 and verse 20. Thinking is dangerous, as this can quench the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. Also, if you cannot dwell peacefully with others in your household, that will hinder your prayers, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Before salvation, through the desires of the flesh and of the mind, Satan controlled you. Ephesians 2, 2-3. The devil can use curiosity to put you on a way that seems right. Continuing his goodness, Romans 11, 22, and repent of thinking when you should be listening, Romans 2 and verse 4. Respond to conviction and the correction of the Holy Spirit consistently, or serve sin again, John 8, 31-34, by hardening your heart, Hebrews 4 and verse 7. Stay on the narrow way, because following a way that seems right, the devil can take you captive at his will, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 John 3 and verse 10 says, by this it's made clear who take their nature from God and are his children, and who take their nature from the devil and are his children. No one who does not practice righteousness, who does not conform to God's will in purpose, thought and action, is of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother, his fellow believer in Christ. Eternal life is a gift vital to those following the Good Shepherd, to stay humble and not get angry, John 10 and verse 28. The Jews thought they were sheep, but murdered the Christ because they did not like the truth. Jesus explained that a sheep would obey the right voice and not obey the wrong one through a love relationship with God. John 10, verses 4 and 5. The church in Ephesus, resisting conviction and not loving brothers and sisters with God's love. Conviction can come through many different ways, as well as through the written word. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 15-17. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 8, I'm reading verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The disciples were told that in this life they would have tribulation. John 16 and verse 33. But Jesus showed us the way to overcome through a love for God. The pure in heart, resisting their flesh, serve God out of love, not out of fear or out of slavery. Those living by faith do not look for an easy option either, so they can show him that they love him by keeping his commandments under pressure. You are adopted through obedience to the Spirit, so it's not unusual to cry out to him now and again in complicated situations. We read in John 20, verses 28-29. This is John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm reading verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. The word blessed in Strong's is number 3107. It's a prolonged form of the poetical word meaning supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, well off, blessed, happy or happier. Those that need to see, to believe or understand are not awake to righteousness. Faithful saints have learned to hear, trust and obey God in many trials and difficulties. Thomas had doubts about the spiritual life. Thomas was a builder and wanted to know how to get his mansion, John 14, verses 1 to 5, but not capable of being in the right place at the right time. You can be born again and convicted of serving the devil in your heart by doing something unrighteous for the sake of earthly gain. Thomas was not in the upper room with the other disciples when Jesus appeared the first time. The door was locked for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came through the wall on two separate occasions. We read in John 14, verses 6 and 7. This is John 14, I'm reading verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. To complete your shopping, you may have to go to several different places. However, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So just let go and let God. The reason you do not know the Father today is because you want life without conviction and do not like following detailed instructions that come through the Holy Spirit. Churchgoers like Thomas hear the gospel but fail to see the need to ask God in the small things. Choose wisely. Either use the gift of eternal life or you'll perish. Romans 6 and verse 23. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. To be a fool for Christ like Paul, you have to be weak, even when others are using their own minds like the world for the sake of their flesh. You'll be despised too when you talk about asking God the details consistently under pressure. Also, you'll not get a 5-star experience when your faith is being purified for what's coming next. You have to consistently obey, even with a thorn in the flesh like Paul did, to complete your calling. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. The wicked and lazy prefer an academic approach instead, without any discomfort, pressure, or conviction. There are easy lessons and hard lessons. Don't leave all the hard lessons until the end. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. The word gift in Strong's is number 1435. It means a present, specifically a sacrifice, gift, or offering. Having gifts is nice, but not using what God has given you in the package of salvation is catastrophic. I did not repent of dead works, but just bad works. So my new life in Christ did not last. I needed a humbling experience before I was convinced that by using my mind to come to truth, I was still heading for hell. If you are convicted again and again of thinking in areas where you should be listening, repent deeply as time is running out. Jesus paid a high price so that you could experience him personally and get all the help you needed through the Holy Spirit. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 16. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 14. I'm starting in verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. Verse 16. A wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Lies that you know are lies are not dangerous. However, lies you want to believe to be the truth for the sake of your flesh have tremendous power to deceive. God will make sure before you end up in hell, all your joys turn to heaviness. If you're on a way that seems right, make sure you repent deeply. In the Message Bible, Proverbs 14:12-15 says, there is a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again, it leads straight to hell. Sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter will end in heartbreak. Sift and weigh every word. A mean person gets paid back in meanness, a gracious person in grace. The gullible believe anything they're told. The prudent sift and weigh every word. Wake up to righteousness. Eternal life is a gift. You will need to live by faith on the narrow way. Those that love the Lord test everything. They are not afraid of truth and conviction either. Serving two masters, you will get offended at him and live your life on the broad way, heading for hell again. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. I'm reading Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. In the Living Bible, Colossians 2:12 says, for in baptism, you see how your old evil nature died with him and was buried with him. And then you came up out of death with him into a new life because you trusted the word of the mighty God who raised Christ from the dead. You can resurrect your old nature by consulting your own will. Those living by faith get everything they really need. Philippians 4:19, through the word of life. God has no graduates, so repent of not listening in complicated situations, as otherwise you'll never grow up spiritually. My earthly members are dead because I've mortified them. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Also avoid false prophets offering earthly treasures. Matthew 6 and verse 21. Remain like a little child if you want a glorious eternal career in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3-4. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10. I'm reading to verse 16. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in this world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. God is not oppressed with you, bowing your knee at the end. What you are learning through pressure is what others need to learn and do. Christ is our example. People who want to overcome sin and live nice, comfortable lives have a hidden agenda. Paul the Apostle had the agenda that he wanted to experience the fellowship of his sufferings. Philippians 3:10. It is vital that you have no other agenda other than to follow Christ all the way to the cross. In the Message Bible, Philippians 2:14-16 says, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I will have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. To finish well, you will need to overcome some doubts about God by studying the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Jesus got all his energy from doing the will of God, and you can too. That energy comes through obedience to the Holy Spirit and should manifest in you as much as anyone else recently convicted of serving two masters. Start asking God and be faithful in the small things first. Luke 16 and verse 10. Jesus taught in John chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. This is John's Gospel chapter 3. I'm reading verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Jews complaining in the wilderness when they should have been listening were actually tempting Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 9. Those bitten by snakes had to run to the place where Moses was standing in the camp and overcome a fear of being bitten again. The gift of eternal life came in the package of salvation by grace through faith, but will not work if you have a confidence in the flesh. Faith without works is dead. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross, Jews that shouted, "Crucify him," Mark 15, 13 and 14, were convicted of serving two masters on the day of Pentecost. Peter only baptized those who received the truth and repented of killing their own Messiah through a confidence in the flesh. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Jesus was speaking in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. You should have used the gift of eternal life and entered the kingdom of heaven. Some call this the honeymoon experience that carnally minded Christians lose easily. Have you forgotten what you had by grace through repentance from dead works? Nothing separates us from the love of God, but iniquity makes his face turn away. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Use the gift of eternal life rigorously to do the works of God that prove you become a servant of righteousness. Romans 6 and verse 18. We read in Isaiah 55 verses 7 and reading to verse 13. This is in the book of Isaiah chapter 55 starting in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Man was created in the image of God to live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. Matthew 4 and verse 4. You were not designed to think, but to listen and be a spokesperson of the oracles of God. Jesus showed us the way to live in this world by putting God first, was full of grace and truth, and never sinned. Now everyone who has not made Jesus Lord of their lives is either wicked or lazy. Have you forgotten that Christ emptied himself and took on human form? Philippians 2, 6 to 8. You may be tempted to settle for the gifts of the Spirit and saying all the right things in ministry, but only those who do the will of God will live forever. 1 John 2, verse 17. Jude wrote in Jude chapter 1, verse 20 to 25. This is Jude chapter 1. I'm reading verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. The converted Jews that murdered the Christ got grace through seeking a clear conscience. God is faithfully transmitting his perfect will for you too. If you have correctly applied his word to your own life through repentance, it will produce grace and truth. In areas where you have doubts, pray in the Holy Spirit. Only he knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. In the last days, as sin abounds, grace is increasing for the humble, so that anyone born again living by sight is lazy. He is the only wise God with all dominion and power. But you have to do your part by seeking God diligently under pressure. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Jude made the following points. Number one, pray consistently in the Holy Spirit and find out why you do not ask enough questions, or you'll be tempted to use your mind again where your faith is weak or missing. Number two, live by faith and not by sight, because through the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, you'll be tempted by what this world has to offer. 1 John 2 and verse 16. And lose your first love. Number three, learn what it means to give mercy when it hurts and be compassionate when others let you down. Jesus taught that everyone needs more time to repent and see how their own ways are wrong. Matthew 9, verse 13. Four, it may be possible to help the well-dressed, rich and famous with the raw truth about sin. But do this in fear and trembling, and not with some hidden agenda to get some financial benefits. Number five, check that your joy levels are stable and well-established, doing his perfect will under much pressure. Number six, only God is truly wise. You will only have earthly wisdom if you are not following Christ consistently. Anyone submitting himself to God's plan and does not question God is wise. Jesus is praying for his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verses 1 to 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Jesus has done his part, proving that in the package of salvation, you have everything you need to live the holy life and please God by faith. Your faith should be unfeigned. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Unless it's been misdirected in the areas where you still have opinions or a confidence in the flesh. Study those areas where you have been convicted with the gift of eternal life, and you'll be rewarded. As you see the day approaching, use the gift of eternal life as you need it for the rest of eternity. Jesus is Lord now, and he does not need your opinions or ideas about how to run the kingdom of God. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, what evidence do you have in your own life personally that you are continuing in his goodness? Give three examples of repentance. Number two, what does it mean to hold forth the word of life? And how might this help others to make a wise choice as well? Number three, are you still seeking a perfect church or the word of life through repentance? Please give reasons for your answer. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction looks good, and it's signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. You don't need a video clip or anything in this world to find out what abundant life looks like if you're born again, as you have the ability to hear his voice. You are given a new nature that loves God. All you have to do is yield to that new nature by faith in complicated situations, and you'll grow spiritually. In the last days, there'll be enough conviction for you to recognize areas where you are self-seeking. Conviction is a blessing under the new covenant. You don't need anyone else to teach you. If you are coming to repentance, your life is rapidly changing. The fearful serve the devil through their flesh and believe Christianity is just another religion. When confronted or convicted by the truth, they join another ministry where they can do what they want when they want. If Jesus is not yet established as Lord of your life by grace, through conviction and correction, he can be. There's still time left. Father, I've given this message today because I believe your people want to be examples of your word and to manifest your goodness in complicated situations where they find themselves. I pray for them that they will find the grace and ability to hear and just express amazing joy, that others will believe and know that you're alive today through your Son, through the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.